Everyone said amen and amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, worship team, for leading us to the Lord. A wonderful presence of the Lord today. Can we express our appreciation to the worship team today? Thank you so much, everyone. And you may be seated, everyone, as we look to the Word of God together. And we come to Luke chapter 18 this morning for a familiar parable in the ministry of Jesus. Today is a memorable day for me and for my family. Today is the fifth anniversary of the homegoing of my twin brother Joel. It barely seems possible that it's been 5 years ago today that Joel made his way home to be with the Lord in heaven. We prayed, and this church family prayed so diligently for Joel to be healed. We're going to be talking about prayer this morning in the scriptures. We prayed for Joel to be healed. He was healed. He was healed in an altogether different manner than the one in which we were praying. But how many of you know the Lord knows all things, and the Lord knows his plan, and the Lord numbers our days? And the Lord had a plan for Joel to bring him home to heaven early in his life. And we thank the Lord that he is safe at home, resting in the arms of Jesus today. And we are grateful for his life and for just the privilege of serving the Lord together as family. Could you say amen to that? This morning we want to look to Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and these words from Scripture. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, the judge said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This morning we want to talk about prayer and the emphasis Jesus provides on being diligent and earnest and continual with our praying. Jesus told this parable, the scripture says, to teach people that they should always pray and not give up. Everybody say, pray and don't give up. That was the message from Jesus. He defined the purpose of the parable from the beginning, that people should always pray and not give up. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Prayer has no benefit on its own unless it's attached to a mighty God, and that's the God to whom we Christians pray. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God who speaks and his word brings forth action. Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord said, my word that goes forth from my mouth will not return to me empty or void, but it will go out and it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. How many of you believe that when God speaks, work is done? And so when we pray to a God whose word is powerful, whose will is powerful, and who has provided us as his children with many great and precious promises about his provision for our lives. And the word of God calls upon us to pray. Listen to the scriptures today. Psalm 50, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Hebrews 4, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. James 5, is any of you in trouble? He should pray And 1 Peter 5, cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. So we pray, and we pray our way through things, and we pray our way out of things. When we're in trouble, in difficulty, we go to the Lord in prayer. And sometimes our situation requires lots of prayer. Jesus said on one occasion to his disciples, these kinds of things don't happen except by prayer. Some things require lots of prayer. Some things require especially faith-filled praying, earnest praying. James chapter 5 that we've quoted from earlier this morning said the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And prayer sometimes has to be persistent and persevering, tireless and tenacious and stubborn and sturdy and dogged and determined. Praying with determination. And that really is the purpose of the parable Jesus provides for us in the scriptures in the Gospel of Luke this morning. It's a message about diligent and urgent praying, getting to God and going to God and continuing to press into the Lord in faith to receive what we need from the Lord. That's the point of this parable, that men should pray and not give up. So let's look this morning at the contents of the parable, and then we're going to look at some principles at the close today about our praying. We begin by thinking about the widow's predicament. Now I look at the clock up there and realize I'm going to have to fly quickly through the outline today. Is everybody ready to fly a little more quickly than usual today? Say amen. Let's think about the predicament this widow found herself in the parable. She was husbandless and alone. Verse 2 says, in a certain town. Verse 3 says, there was a widow in that town. Jesus sets up the story with the perfect victim, a helpless widow who has nobody to go to bat for her. But how many of you know when we've got nobody else to go to bat for us, the Lord will take up our case? And so here is the widow. She's in a terrible predicament. She was wrestling with a harmful adversary. Though she's a widow, she's got somebody who is badgering her. My adversary, she calls that person. The adversary in this parable is unnamed and undescribed, but the adversary was wicked. And the adversary was committing an injustice against this woman. She was a victim. Her rights were being violated. She was being harmed. We note that this adversary represents to us in this parable the wrongs of life. Maybe perpetrated by other people, but how many of you know many times we deal with just the struggles this world has to throw at us? And sometimes we struggle with attacks from the devil himself. So the adversary could come from any direction. You know the expression, when it rains, it pours. And sometimes that's the case. And sometimes adversaries come in from every direction. This woman was dealing with an adversary that was badgering her and tormenting her. And she was wrestling with that. And as a result, she wanted and needed a higher authority to intervene in her situation. And verse 2 says, in a certain town, there was a judge. So she goes to the judge. She takes her case to court. Now, this woman was being victimized against her will, and she needed the judge to impose an injunction against this adversary and say, hands off this woman. Somebody to take up her cause. Hands off, stop it, cease and desist. That's what this woman needed, and she makes her way to the local judge, and we see her petition. Notice the widow's petition in this story. She petitioned the lazy local judge. What do we know about this judge? Well, verse 2 says, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. How many of you know that's two strikes against you right there? He neither feared God nor cared about men. The widow kept coming to him with the plea, and he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men. So not only does he not fear God and care about men, but he's willing to say that. How many of you know he probably didn't say that on election night? I don't fear God and I don't care about men. On election night, they're always kissing the babies, aren't they? But in reality, this judge was godless. He was unspiritual, he was unsympathetic, and he was unprincipled. He didn't care anything about this woman or her situation, even though she was pleading for legal justice. She said in verse 3, grant me justice against my adversary. So she's not asking the judge just to take sides without reason or ration. She's being wronged, and she wants the judge to make things right. So she makes her petition. And thirdly, in the parable, she's persistent with her petition to the local judge. We note that as she approached him, she met unsympathetic responses. As verse 4 says, for some time he refused. He refused to help her. He refused to answer her plea. He refused to rule in her case. He refused to deal with her. I think maybe we could add some of our own thoughts to the parable. I don't know how appropriate that is, but I think maybe when he saw her coming, he may have just put a closed sign on the courtroom door. He didn't want to have to deal with this woman, and he was not sympathetic toward her case. Despite that, the woman kept coming. Have you ever dealt with somebody like that in life? Have you ever been somebody like that in life? You said, no, I need what I need. I want what I want. I'm going to keep pressing until I get it. Well, remember, Jesus told this parable so that people would pray and not what? And not give up. Pray and not give up. And so the widow in the story, she's not going to give up. She makes unending request. She kept coming to him with the plea. Now, the widow's tenacity and determination is the very point of this parable. She was not dissuaded or deterred by the judge's refusal. She persisted. She kept knocking, asking, seeking. She kept coming. She filed her claim over and over again. She kept calling the number. Have you ever tried to call a number and didn't get an answer? And she kept calling the number again and again. She kept writing the letter. She kept submitting her request. She was determined that if it was up to her, she was going to get what she needed. This woman is an example to us of a determined person who wants to get what they need to get. When I was a kid growing up in church, we sang an old hymn that I still think of and sing in my spirit sometimes, an old hymn entitled, I would not be denied. Has anybody ever heard that hymn? I would not be denied. And the song says, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. The song is about the determination that we need sometimes as we're pressing through the smog and the fog of this world, sometimes pressing through our own discouragements and doubts, and pressing not only to get to God, but to express faith in God, to which God will respond and supply what we need in life. A determined faith, I would not be denied. That the verse of that old hymn says, like Jacob in the days of old, I wrestled with the Lord. Do you remember the story of Jacob in the Old Testament wrestling with God? He was wrestling in the middle of the night as he was facing uncertain times ahead. Jacob found himself alone with his family on the other side of the creek. camped out on the other side, but there's Jacob alone. And a man appears to him in the night. A being appears to him in the night and begins to wrestle. And Jacob begins to wrestle with this being. He thinks it's a man. He thinks it's an angel. But in the end, it's a revelation of God himself. And Jacob is wrestling all night long. He wrestles with that being. And as the sun is beginning to come up, that being says to Jacob, "Let me go, for it's almost daybreak." And Jacob responds with these words, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Think of the nerve of that. Think of the gall. Think of the boldness to say to an angelic being or a divine being like that, "I will not let you go." Now, how many of you believe God had the power with one snap of a finger to throw Jacob off? No doubt. The point of the story is the Lord himself wanted Jacob to wrestle and engage with him diligently and determinedly for the blessing of God. And when Jacob said, "I won't let you go until you bless me," listen, he got the blessing of God that morning. And when he walked away from that encounter, he had a new name and a new walk and a new experience with God. He had wrestled with men and with God and had prevailed, and he had received the blessing of the Lord. His life would never be the same. And as he marched off into that unknown future, the favor of God went before him and settled the adversary that perhaps was going to come against him. And peace came, and the blessing of God came, because Jacob determined, "I've got to have the blessing of the Lord, and I will not let him go until I receive it." This woman in our parable was pressing in like that with a determination before the Lord. And in the end of the story, the widow received her provision. The judge was annoyed by her aggravation. Verse 4 says, "But finally the judge said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me,'" she's bothering me. Now, on several occasions in the Gospels, Jesus, are you listening? Jesus likens prayer, now hang with me here. On several occasions, Jesus likens prayer to pestering. In some other parables, Jesus refers to prayer as if it's pestering somebody. But I want to say to you this morning that the point is not that our prayers pester God. The point is, just as we might pester somebody on earth to get what we need to keep persisting with the Lord. In fact, when we call upon the Lord, when we pursue the Lord, when we persist with the Lord receives that in the exact opposite sense that a person would receive it as pestering. The Lord wants us to rely upon him. He wants us to press into him. Amen. He wants us to keep praying and not give up. He's not pestered by our praying. But that's the example we have in the human realm. He wants our faith-filled persistence and our total trust. So the judge was annoyed by her aggravation, and eventually the judge answered her appeals. Verse 5, he says, "I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." But how many of you understand, even as we're thinking about these contrasts and comparisons here, how many of you understand that God cannot be worn out by our coming? No, no, no. He is a mighty God. His arms are open wide. We approach his throne of grace with confidence to receive help in our time of need. And he says, "Come on in." Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Nobody anywhere has ever opened the door to anybody else as widely and as generously as God has opened the door to us. He has opened the door to his presence to us wide through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, it was a picture for all eternity that the way into the presence of God was made clear and free for everyone who would approach God through Jesus Christ, his son. Thank God this morning. God's not trying to turn us away. God is trying to get us to come in. Hallelujah. So the judge answers her appeal and provides what she needs. He had the wrong motivation, but regardless of his motivation, the widow won. I have to say, I have to use this expression, it fits this story. The squeaky wheel got the grease, didn't it? And so let's think about this parable by way of some working principles here today. First of all, let's note the context again of the parable. Verse 1, Jesus told the parable to show them that they should always pray. Everybody say, always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. Look at me. It's easy sometimes in the natural to pray and then give up. That's why Jesus taught this parable. You've got to pray and not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. And so we note that's the context. And we note the contrast and comparison in the parable. Verse 6, the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? The point is this, everybody. God is not like the unjust judge. The unjust judge is turning the woman away because he doesn't care about her. But God is the exact opposite of that. He welcomes us into his presence because he does care about us. Could you say amen? He loves us. God will respond to us as we continue to pray. Persistence demonstrates faith. So keep trusting God. Keep believing that he will bring you through, that he will bring you out, that he will provide what you need. Listen to me. Many times we pray for a long season of time and the answer finally comes. Do you remember Daniel in the Old Testament? Daniel prayed and prayed that the Lord would help him. And the answer was on the way, but the answer in the spiritual realms was delayed. But though the answer was delayed, the answer was not denied, and the answer finally came. Sometimes we don't know what's going on in the spiritual realms. We don't know the reasoning for delay, but how many of you know if God is working and moving, things are going to be all right? And we believe the words of Romans 8:28, in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So the Lord, if the Lord is moving and working on our behalf, we're going to be all right. So here's the reality. God wants our trust, our confidence, and he calls us to pray and trust him. That's the contrast and comparison. Note the conclusion of the parable. Verse 8, Jesus says, I tell you, God will see that they get justice and quickly. Everybody say the word quickly. Now hear me. Your definition of quickly is not always the same definition as God's definition of quickly. Do you know that? The scripture says, with the Lord, a day is like a thousand. A what? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. God's timing is not always our timing. We don't know why the answer is not coming like we think it should come in the timing we think it should come, but the Lord knows more than we do. Isn't that right? Sometimes our spiritual skills are sharpened as we continue to pray and trust the Lord. I've known some people who got closer to God in their times of distress and crisis than they ever had been before. They learned really the discipline of leaning on the Lord more in their times of trouble. So we don't always know what's going on, but the Lord says the answer's on the way. If you're going to trust the Lord, the answer's on the way. Oh, yes, The answer's on the way, this I know. Anybody hear that old song? The Lord is moving and we trust him. So that's the conclusion of the parable. But then, strangely enough, Jesus expresses a concern at the close of the parable, verse number 8. This is a strange way, perhaps, for Jesus to close this parable, but we understand it. Jesus said this after finishing the parable. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What does Jesus mean by that? Well, because not everything comes as we want, some lose confidence in God altogether. I've known people who prayed about particular situations. They did not get the answer they expected or hoped for, and so they lost confidence in God altogether. Jesus says, if you're going to keep praying, keep trusting. Don't give up your faith in the Lord. In fact, many of our prayers and longings will be answered here, but many more will be answered in our eternal life. Are you awake? In heaven. I'm convinced that our redemption and our provision and the promises of God that come to us are all coming on a continuum. We are receiving. Just a few weeks ago, we preached from 1 Peter chapter 1. And 1 Peter chapter 1 says we're filled with joy because we are, everybody say, I am receiving. In a present sense, Peter says we are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. I'm convinced the scripture teaches us over and over that the promises of God are coming to us on a continuum, and that we will not see the fullness of all the provisions of God, obviously, until we stand before the Lord in heaven someday, and then every promise of God will be completed in its fullness. Aren't you looking forward to that day? So, the truth is, every Christian who dies, think about this. Every Christian who dies still has an unanswered prayer list. Many prayers have been answered, but when they go home to be with the Lord, if they're a Christian and they've been praying about a lot of things, they still got things they've been praying for when they go home to be with the Lord in heaven. Still praying, still trusting, still believing. And they go on home to heaven, and others are left to pray about those things. And the Lord has stored up all of those prayers that they've prayed in their lifetime. I believe that many of the prayers that we pray will be answered after we're gone to be with the Lord in heaven, should the Lord Jesus tarry. Isn't that right? And so the Lord has not forgotten those prayers. So what's the answer? Keep praying, keep worshiping, keep trusting. Keep loving God, keep living for God, keep praising, stay faithful and stay faith-filled, and keep looking forward to seeing Jesus. Amen and amen. Look at these 8 principles. We don't have time to elaborate on them, but we'll read them together. 1, here's our response. Do your best to pray in faith according to God's word and will. Don't pray against God's will, but pray with God's will. Could you say amen? So I don't know what to pray for. There's an answer for that in the scripture. It's called the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the prayer language. Yes? Pray in the Spirit. Do your best. And 2, understand that God loves you and wants the best for your life, whatever happens. Could you say amen? 3, hear God's invitation to bring your needs and desires to him in prayer. Don't come to a place where you say, well, I prayed for such and such. I never received what I just am not going to pray like that anymore. No, don't let the devil win a victory in your life. Keep trusting the Lord and trusting his provisions and his wisdom. Amen. His ways are higher than our ways. Yes. Okay. 4, realize that God's delays are not necessarily denials. And his timing is not always our timing. So continue to trust him. 5, acknowledge that God may answer in ways different from our expectation. I have to tell this little story. Some of you probably have heard it. I wasn't going to elaborate, but I feel it coming on me. You remember the story of the little lady who had run out of food in the house. She was desperate. She was praying, "Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do for my next meal. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord." And she was praying, seeking the Lord. She was praying by her window one day. She was praying, "Oh, God, you've always provided for me. I need you now to come through. I need some food. I need some groceries. I need some provision." As she prayed by the window, two little stinker boys, have you ever known any? Two little stinker boys who were always making fun of the little Christian woman were out there outside the window, and she heard her praying and calling out to God, and they said, "Let's play a trick on her." And they went around, they gathered up some provisions, they went down to the grocery store, they bought a big bag of groceries, they said, "Now let's put it on her porch and let's see if she thinks God did it." And so they brought the bag, they laid it on her porch, and they rung the doorbell, and they scampered her way by the window. They were laughing to themselves, "Let's see if she thinks God did it." And the woman came to the door, she took in the groceries, she began to shout and praise God. She went over by the window and she began to pray, and she prayed like this, "Oh God, my heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you answered my prayer. You have brought food to my house, and you even used the devil to do it." God may answer in ways different from our expectation, but God is a good God and a faithful God. Would you say amen? Amen. Number six, keep praying and don't give up or give in to doubt or discouragement. Number seven, remember that God may, oh, I don't want to read this one. Do you want me to read it? Yes. Hold on. Remember that God may want to change you more than he wants to change your situation. Oh, how painful that is sometimes, but how that is true for all of us, isn't that right? God may want to change us more than he wants to change our situation. How many of you know God's priorities are the right priorities? And number eight, and finally, be a person of prayer and faith until Jesus comes for you. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I'm determined that if he comes in my lifetime, I'm going to be a man of faith and prayer. I'm going to be trusting him. How about you? How many in the house today, you are determined, you're going to keep praying and trusting the Lord until you see him face to face one of these days? That's our determination in Jesus' name. And I believe, as we're standing, please, I believe that as we make that determination, hear me now. I believe that as we make that determination and we continue to pray in faith, that throughout our lifetime, even here, we're going to experience more and more and more of the provisions of our life, provisions of the Lord in our life right here and now. As David said, I believe to see the goodness of the Lord where? In the land of the living. I know heaven is ahead, and I know the chief blessings are up ahead of us. But how many of you believe God has plenty of blessings for us in the here and now? And we're going to trust him for those, and we're going to see them in Jesus' name.